This is Deirdre Fay from Becoming Safely Embodied, and I'm delighted to talk to Andrea Gunderson, who's a therapist in the Chicago area, who I've known for many, many years. She's an extremely well-trained therapist, a body-oriented therapist, and I was delighted when I saw her at the San Diego conference we were both at, and she was willing to come and share with you some of what she's learning about embodiment through movement. And what Andrea's going to talk to us about today is some of the work she's learning from Susan Apogian, which you can talk more about, Andrea, and say more. We're going to look at developmental movements. So do you want to start, Andrea, or how do you want to do this?
I'm happy to begin. Thank you, Deirdre, for having me. What an opportunity. It's great to be with you. I listened to the other podcasts that you had in this series and thought it would be wonderful at this point to offer something that was movement-oriented, just something to expand out even more toward all the various kinds of experiences we can have in our bodies. I have been learning the work of Susan Apogian, who's a somatic psychologist in Colorado, and have really enjoyed it on many levels, both for myself and for my clients. Susan sees that the movement that we use when we move toward or away from the world is a reflection of what's going on for us emotionally. So movement, therefore, can be a powerful way to see what some of the limitations are in embodiment, and also this can be a great tool for healing those limitations, moving into fuller embodiment.
Very exciting, actually.
It's a wonderful model. And I wanted to begin by familiarizing your listeners with some of the terms that she uses, some of the ideas that she uses. There are four of them. And the first one is called sequencing. And for Susan Apogian, sequencing refers to the flow of energy, or how the flow of energy in our body unfolds within the body and then between ourselves and the outer world. So the ideal in this kind of work is to allow the energy to move all the way through us and out into the world. So if you can imagine, for instance, listening to two different pieces of music, and two that you like, two kinds of music that you like but that are very different. And say one is very melodic and mellow and calm and kind of sweet. And just imagine what the flow of energy in your body might be like as you listen to that piece of music. And then imagine that you're listening to rock and roll, that you've got something really lively and upbeat and loud and energetic, and imagine what the flow or the sequence of energy in your body might be like while you listen to that kind of music. Begins to give you some sense of what it means that there's literally movement all the time in our bodies. Energy and information and sensation, it's all moving. It's all sequencing. And it's either moving out into the world, making us want to get up and dance, or it's moving inward, like making us want to curl up and rest. All of them are fine and interesting just to notice. But there is an interest on Susan's part in seeing, or she encourages all of us to look at how that movement might get stopped on its way out of the body. How can it fully sequence until the movement is done by entering the world through what she calls our end points, so which is the other term that's important besides sequencing to understand. Our end points are the major ports through which energy flows. They're the primary contact points with the world, so those would be our hands and our feet, also our pelvic floor and our head. So there are six different points at which our body ends that have the most sense perception and the most and the highest amount of motor ability. So these are the
points. You said there were six of them or five of them?
There are six of them, the head and the pelvic floor, the two hands and the two feet.
Okay.
So we take the world in through our hands, and we also act on the world through our hands and our feet and our pelvic floor and our head. So we're watching for energy sequencing out through those endpoints. And then the other, I think, important concept is that As we do this work, we're trying to let go of our ideas of how movement should look and feel, getting kind of beyond our habits and opening to the natural intelligence of movement that we might have been conditioned to shut down. We all use our bodies in very habitual ways, like we recruit every part of our body and every movement toward a goal that we have in our mind. So our movements are all harnessed toward what we think we should do. But that's different from moving in the way that we really feel. And so it's allowing all of our parts of our body to have a say in how the movement looks. This is, of course, best practiced when you're feeling safe and you have privacy, and you can begin in whatever way works best for you to explore what it might mean to move even just a tiny bit beyond your own movement habits.
Wonderful. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I think so too. It's great work. An example, I think, of an experience of movement that's natural that all of your clients, like your listeners, could understand would be that morning stretch. Swinging your legs over the side of the bed. Often, I know I have a movement that's kind of curling up out of my spine and lengthening my spine all the way up, even arching back a little bit, and then flinging my arms up so that they kind of burst forth into the world, and I stretch through my shoulder, and all the energy goes out the endpoints of my arms and into my hands, and out the end point of my head. And it feels so good to kind of unwind from that little ball of sleep into that first lovely big movement. And so that's bringing energy all the way out to the end point, sequencing it. And if you don't do that yourself, you may recognize it as something that your dog does in the morning. Or your cat, yeah? They love to make the movement go all the way to the very tips of their paws. And so you can watch for that next time your dog or cat does a big stretch. So I thought it might be interesting to have your listeners begin by just doing a quick survey to map their own flow of energy through their bodies by tracking sensation just as it is right now as they're listening. And sensation is movement. So if you turn your attention inward right now and you find that you're not aware of much sensation, of much energy, then we know that there's not much sequencing going on. There's not much of a flow of energy. It's kind of like traffic in the city. In some neighborhoods, there's, along the major arterials, there might be more traffic. But in some neighborhoods, there won't be anything moving. So just begin to notice what's the pattern of your internal flow at this moment. Where is the sensation? What tend to be your habits? Maybe you have one hip that's always sore, where there's quite a bit of sensation, or there's always a lot of sensation in the middle of the day when you're anxious and you've got a lot to do, there's a lot of sensation in your chest. Just to notice, where is the movement and the sensation right now, and where isn't it? Without judgment, see what is true for you right now. So, the map of this universal energy flow pattern that we use in this kind of work is based on our understanding of early motor development and universal patterns that unfold in human beings as we develop as infants. There are certain movements that we're going to be looking at today that are the building blocks for all movement. In a moment, we'll look at those five fundamental movements that we begin to develop our capacity to own as we develop through the life stages as children. But before we do this, the main exercise we're doing today, I wanted to give your listeners a small experience of this work, the work of actually taking the energy that you're aware of in your body now and working with it in a way to support and enhance natural movement. So, Deirdre, you and your listeners can, wherever you are, whether you're seated or standing, you can bring your hands up to your face. Begin to feel your face with your hands. Become aware of all the many sensations around your mouth, your eyes, cheeks, lips, forehead. Begin to let these sensations just move in their own way. Kind of start to let your face contort and move just as it is moved to do in response to your touch. And also, as your face begins to move and wake up, let yourself breathe fully as you can in response to the touch and the movement. And also, something that's very important in this work, see if you can find sounds that your face wants you to make. Sounds are another form of movement. So we're combining touch and movement, sensation, breath, and sound just in the experience of touching your face. Almost as if your face were its own little creature. Let it create its own movements and sounds. And just do this until your face feels alive and more present. As you move your face and allow your breath and sound to follow, begin to notice how far into your neck and maybe even to your torso can you feel this? Your energy that's sequencing from your touch all the way down into your other parts of your body. As Susan would say, how far into your trunk do the roots of your face go? And maybe it's not very far. There's no judgment here. Really just to notice where you are in the process. good information. See how the energy is able to circulate in your body. And then bringing your hands away from your face, tune in to the experience of your whole organism. And just compare it to the map you made earlier of where the energy flow was and was not in your body. See if there's any difference. That experience of naturally moving your face wake you up in any way, enliven you. Remember that when we have these experiences of natural movement or playing with natural movement, it's so important to remember, how are you in this experience? Does this feel good to you? Does it feel safe? If not, can you make your main job to take care of yourself, to find a way to be in the experience that does feel good and does feel safe? Really have my permission to do that. How are you doing, Deirdre?
Oh, it's so relaxing.
Isn't it? Yeah. It
and
is.
So connecting, I think, too.
Yeah.
I love those words. How far into your trunk do the roots of your face go?
Do the roots of your face go? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely the aim here, is to enhance your connection with your own body. And for trauma survivors, It may be that this work is best practiced in the beginning by really staying at your endpoints, staying with your face and your hands, your feet, staying at those edges of your body and feeling the connection just down into your neck a little bit, or up into your forearms or your ankles, to really allow yourself to have just that much of an experience if that's what feels best.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask you, if there's a lot loaded in the body, how to slow it down so somebody can titrate it and only take a little bit. And part of what you're saying is that the edges of our body, the endpoints, are actually the safest place. Am I hearing you say that?
You know, I think each person has to find out for themselves if this is true for them. But I say in general, it is easier to experience the sensations in our hands and our feet and our faces than it might be in our bellies and in our chest. So see if that's true for you, but my guess is that might be a good way to start.
Wonderful, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to hear from people how it works for them.
Mm-hmm. I would too. I'd love the feedback around that. So moving on here, you know, we're constantly giving and receiving through our endpoints. We're both giving and receiving objects and stuff and information and emotions. And that giving and receiving, that relationship that we have to the outer world, occurs through five fundamental actions, and they are yielding, pushing, reaching, grasping, and pulling. So I want to invite everyone who's listening to choose a way to start. That, you know, my personal preference is always to be on the floor, especially since we're going to begin the infant stage of development. And infants are puddles, you know, they really can't sit up in a chair or stand up. So if it's comfortable for you, you might want to find a position on the floor. And if not, then it's fine to be in a chair or standing. And then also, it would be helpful if you have some object in the room that you can work with, a pillow or a pen or a piece of paper or your glasses, something that you can reach toward and grasp and work with through all these movements. So we're going to begin at the beginning with yielding. And you can begin to play with yielding by resting your hand on the object that you are using. Really feel it. Sense the flow as you make contact. Just your hand to the object. There's a flow between you and the object. I think it'd be clearer if you actually withdraw this sense of contact without withdrawing the touch. You keep touching the object, but withdraw your sense of contact from the object. And then re-engage it. Right? Through that little simple exercise, begin to feel what it means to flow with and out through your end, through your hand. That yielding is actually being in contact, being physically resting your weight into the contact with the object. It's not doing anything. It's resting. It's something we do a lot in utero and as infants. Think of a baby asleep on her mom's shoulder, just draped over that shoulder. That's total yielding. And then withdrawing contact is when there's little or no energy sequencing through your hand. So we're going to play just for a minute with yielding. The earth, I find, can be a safe place to experiment with this. So if you're lying down like an infant, that's great. If you're sitting or standing, that's fine. Just begin to play with yielding into that stable sense of the ground underneath you, whatever your position. Let your contact with the earth flow through you. Let your weight rest, maybe just even a tiny bit more, into the support of the earth. And it might help to just let your breath go, find a sound like a sigh. Feel where your yielding is happening. You yield your head. You yield your feet. You yield through your hands, through your pelvic floor. Which endpoints feel good to just let your weight rest down? Yielding is the basis for taking action in the world. For all the other movements, this is the foundation. Think of a diver. You know how they come to the end of the diving board, and before they spring off, they have to let their whole weight push the board down. They let their weight rest into the board, and then out of that comes the push. So imagine that you're letting your weight take you down into the earth so that you can lift up and go out from there as you develop. Now, healing our relationship to yielding is about being able to observe when we are doing it and when we're not. So it's not about making it all different and fixing it. It's really about being able to clearly see, oh, right now I can yield through my feet, but my pelvic floor is still gripping, and I can't really let a lot of energy out of my hands. Just to notice. Yielding, so we're going to move on to pushing now, the next stage in an infant's development. Pushing serves to separate us from our environment. So it's almost like we're going to use the earth as a springboard for movement into new places, just like that diver is using the diving board as a springboard. So find a place, a floor, a wall, bare seat, where your hand can make contact. In other words, yield, and then push away. If you can do this slowly enough that you stay curious about the muscles in your arm as you begin to push, what's happening with the muscles in your arm after you yield and then you begin to push? Feel the muscles harden, shorten. Pushing shortens all the muscles in the pushing limb. See if you can follow this push as it moves into your body. How far into your body, away from the end point of your hand, does the push go? Push you somewhere? Does it push all of you into a new position? As we push, we become more dense, more solid. Stop being a puddle. Just see if you can stay curious about this feeling of being more solid. What's it like to push with both hands? You want to play with pushing into standing as if for the first time. Like to push with your head. What's it like to push from a seated position up through your pelvic floor and your spine so that you can feel the full length of your torso? Notice in your own movements how yielding provides a foundation for pushing. Can't push without first yielding, with letting your hand have contact with the earth. Letting some part of you yield so that another part can push. Now, I'm moving fairly quickly through these various fundamental movements. You're welcome at any point to pause the podcast and keep exploring what you're finding with each movement, taking each endpoint through a push, adding sound, making sure that you're also allowing yourself to breathe fully as you explore these. Now we're going to move into reach. Put your hand on your object. Feel its texture as you reach forward to explore it. Reach, sense if you can the lightness in your hand and arm as your reach moves inward into your body. So as you reach forward, the reach moves into your body, up to your elbow and your shoulder, rib cage. Reaching lengthens the muscles in the reaching limb. Pushing shortens them. Reaching lengthens them. Just see if you can feel that. Reach for something. But to support this reach you're doing right now, you have to also be in push that supports your original position. Push precedes reach. Support precedes movement. Imagine a little infant lying on the ground on their belly, seeing an object on the floor in front of them and reaching toward it, but without the strength in their supporting arm to support their weight, it just collapses. They collapse. They can't get to that object. They can't do a reach because they don't have enough push. With adults, too, reach without push becomes a falling toward, a tumble into chaos. So a supported reach reflects an integration of our inner and outer world. take a moment to play with this sense of your own push, reach, support, and movement. Get yourself reaching with your eyes. Spine. By reaching through different endpoints. Now you have three movements you can be aware of in your body: yielding, pushing, and reaching. And of course, reaching can quickly lead to grasping and pulling. Look around your space for something you want or you're curious about. Feel your body. Breathe. And allow yourself to reach toward what you want, grasp it, and pull it towards you. Feel the experience of receiving it. Receiving that object, can you feel the yield? You have to yield to actually receive. Does the satisfaction you receive from having the object of your desire lead you naturally into a feeling of satisfied rest and recuperation? This is also a form of yielding. So now that you have a little taste of each of the five movements, take some time, just a minute or two, to let yourself explore all of these five fundamental actions: yielding, reaching, reaching, asking, and pulling. Let yourself experience them through different endpoints, through your head, your feet, floor, or your hand. Play with allowing the sounds to accompany the movements and finding your breath. Working with your own natural intelligence. The natural intelligence of your body's movements. Watching for how sensation moves from the endpoints in toward the core, like it did when we were touching our faces, from the core out toward the endpoints. When we're reaching for objects, just endless variations on these five fundamental movements. And encourage you now to come back to rest, back to where we began, back to yielding. Into being. Sensing from this place of rest the flow of sensation and energy through your organism. Satisfied, you feel even more curious. Are you able to take care of yourself in the process? Let's maybe end with each of us thanking ourselves for this time we've given ourselves to explore natural movement, full embodiment. How did you experience that, Deirdre?
Oh, I just found it so interesting. I was remembering some work from years ago that I did with Bonnie
Bainbridge Cohen.
Yes, thank you. Just having that. And
your cortical mind isn't working as well.
Yeah, right.
Much for the body.
And I was aware of a place in my body just now, as your wonderful voice was leading us through it, of a place where I get stuck, and just like how can I reorganize that place and move that energy rather than staying stuck out through the endpoints and playing with, what if I move it through the pelvic floor? What if I move it up? And just attuning myself that way.
Oh, that's lovely.
It was really wonderful. Thank you.
So welcome. And thank you for mentioning Bonnie Bainbridge Cohen. She was the main teacher of Susan Aposhian. So you have gotten the lineage.
Great. Yeah, she was amazing. She still is an amazing woman. I just haven't done any training with her.
She is an amazing woman.
In many years, so. Well, Andrea, thank you.
You're welcome.
I love the depth of this. I love the places you took us through, and I really want to hear from people what their experience was with this. So when you guys have a chance, drop a note either directly to me or right onto the blog, and I'll pass it on to Andrea. But I also want to hear from you and know what your experience was and is. We're all set here. Andrea, thank you for taking the time to share yourself with us.
Thank you very much.